content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm your hometown girl, Shadate, for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading articles from Sports Illustrated for Kids online, sportsforkids.com, sorry about that, and kidnews.com, the sports section. Let's get started with a little bit of information concerning sports, mental, physical health, and how coaches are helping with this. Mental performance coach helps golfers find their game. There are two main challenges when playing any sport, the physical and the mental. Some of the best athletes ever were renowned for their mental toughness. Now, sports psychology is an essential component of how athletes elevate their performance to the next level. As more pros are focusing on their mental health, the sports psychology field has expanded. Bob Rotella, who is considered the father of golf sports psychology and coached many PGA major champions, said, "Golf is about how well you accept, respond to, and score with your misses, much more so than it is a game of your perfect shot." What is sports psychology? Thoughts plus feelings equals intention, said Ian Hyland, who is the KOHR Academy director and mental performance coach in Natick, Massachusetts. He specializes in developing golfers' mental games. Highfield became interested in sports psychology when he realized that he failed. A standout high school athlete in golf, rugby, and cricket in England, he fell short of his aspirations as he became a decent collegiate rugby athlete. Highfield wondered, "Why was I so good so young and then pretty average pretty quickly as I got older?" While working in medical sales after college, Holland's curiosity led him to investigating that question. After reading numerous sports psychology books and learning about what it takes to be successful, Highfield began coaching junior golfers in England about the mental game and the goal setting process. His side interest would later develop into a full-time career, including moving to the U.S. in 2013, where he began coaching juniors, collegiate players, adults, and professionals in achieving a strong mentality. To assess a player before the mental training begins, Highfield interviews the player about their personal life, the goals they want to accomplish, and looks for any red flags. Highfield then observes the player on the course and asks the player to verbalize every thought that comes into their mind. Highfield notes that after observing hundreds of players, he has concluded that golfers' pre-shot routines are very focused, but the mental routine bounces around. Highfield developed the acronym OSVEA, option, selection, visualization, execution, acceptance, also the name of his first book. In OSVEA, he writes that every golfer goes through those five steps and needs to learn to have a structured way to incorporate that into the pre-shot routine. Highfield's second book, Golf Practice, focuses on the practice environment. "I think the environment you train in fuels your mental game and shapes your brain," Highfield says. The two books go hand in hand as OSVEA addresses the mental pre-shot routine, and Golf Practice teaches players how to practice in a competition level environment so they can take their range game and mental pre-shot routine to the course. When it comes to working with different ages or levels, Highfield believes that the overarching philosophy remains consistent as well as the level of motivation the client presents. Highfield attracts a selective group of determined and driven clients. While his philosophy remains the same, the mental journey is different for everyone. Highfield compares the process to a big tunnel that we are going to walk through, but take different routes depending on that individual's needs. A sports psychologist is not required by all athletes to have a strong mental state. Highfield highlights that for any junior golfer, whether they have a sports psychologist or not, the main goal is to use that mental strength to enjoy the game. If the mind takes us in the wrong direction, we can get stressed, burned out, and quit. Conditioning the mind is what allows the player to stay positive and be process focused instead of outcome oriented. Highfield has influenced numerous athletes across the globe through his books, lectures, mental program, and coaching. Highfield describes how it is the feedback from his clients and junior clients' parents that fuels his passion. A student came up to me when I was at the golf course and said, "I went to Penn State and was at your lecture, and after listening, I lost 30 pounds. We weren't even talking about weight loss. We were talking about golf. For Highfield, leaving the medical sales industry to become a mental performance coach not only changed his life, but the lives of many of the juniors and players he has encountered. Golf is a game of inches. The most important are the 6 inches between your ears," said Arnold Palmer, who was one of the greatest American golfers of all time and won 62 times on the PGA Tour. Mental focus is the key to any sport. And now we're going to move to a sport, basketball. A basketball boy from Bendigo, Dyson Daniels, flies into the NBA. Young Australian basketballer Dyson Daniels has been drafted to the NBA, and his new team has already nicknamed him Crocodile Dundee. The New Orleans Pelicans selected the 19-year-old Victorian Wick pick 8 at the draft on Friday, June 24th. His selection makes him an instant millionaire, now earning a salary of at least $4.4 million. He is the 32nd Australian to make the NBA. Daniel stood out in the big stage at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn in the U.S. in his metallic silver suit, matching watch, and black tie. The gun guard was still in disbelief when he spoke to the media after his selection. "When I heard my name called, my heart just dropped," he said. "I'm just so happy. To be a Pelican, there's no better place. I can't wait to get to work. This is crazy." Daniel's shiny suit stole the show at the draft, his flash style attracting praise from many at the Barclays Center. Asked if he always dressed that conservatively when he went to work, the young Aussie replied, "No, I don't. But you know, this is a one-off opportunity, the NBA draft, so I had to put something together, a little shine on it." NBA analysis hailed the proud Victorian as a spectacular defender and compared him to fellow Aussie guard Matisse Thybulle. New Orleans has a host of star players, so the boy from Bendigo will have time to develop off the bench. He is an NBA-ready defender, respected ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Bilas said during the draft broadcast. Daniels was joined at the draft by proud parent Ricky and Brakita and brothers Kai and Dash. Daniels took to social media before the draft to thank his Australian supporters. He also showed off his flash silver suit, which included the Victorian map inside his jacket with the words of his hometown, Bendigo. He also had a tribute to his family inside the jacket. The two tributes reflect what makes Daniels tick: community and family. To all the fans out there, you followed me throughout the draft. Your comments and everything doesn't go unnoticed, he said. Congratulations. And one young man who is going to the NBA, playing for the NBA, and another one who has dreams of representing Australia at football. Man U scouts to see if Sydney boy can bend it like Beckham. Cruz Cummings has big dreams of one day representing Australia at football. Months out from Caesars playing, the 10-year-old from Sydney Hills District is preparing for his own starring role on the pitch. The youngster flew to Europe to play in the Australian under-10 team as part of the IBER Cup International Youth Football Tournament. He said, "I hope to end up a top goal scorer in football. I'm most excited about playing in tournaments to play against all the best players in the world and hopefully one day be able to play for Portugal. Two Australian teams will compete, have competed in the IBR Cup, the under-12s and the under-15s. Players were selected from NSW and Victoria. The IBER Cup kicked off in Australia, in Andalusia in Spain on June 28th, where the group stages began moving to the Algarves, Estoril, and Portugal. Cruz's favorite Aussie player is Tim Cahill, while his top international star is Kylian Mbappe. Cruz, who plays 8 right wing on striker, has dreams beyond the IBER Cup. He said, "I would like to play for Liverpool and also represent Australia and hopefully go to the World Cup when I'm older and be captain of an Australia team," he said. "I've never been overseas before, so I can't quite believe that I'm going to be representing my country at a tournament overseas with the IBER Cup." Even though he has an eye on a future with Liverpool, Cruz will also want to head to UK in September to take up an invite from Manchester United scouts who want to further access his ability and skills. 2 months later, he will strut his stuff at the World Cup stage in Qatar after a heart-stopping penalty game and a victory over Peru in a new qualifying team next month. Now, it's time to talk a little sports health. Sports health for kids. And as you know, summer sports are going on now, and it's very important to keep kids safe through the summer months so that they can go back to school and be healthy and play in fall sports, winter sports. But the USAW study finds beetroot boosts sporting performance. If you got a big game or sporting competition, you might want to put beetroot on your menu. Australian researchers have found the humble beetroot can give athletes a competitive edge on the sporting field. The bright red root vegetable has been found to boost endurance because of its high level of nitrates. Nitrates are a natural chemical compound that have been given a bad rap because they are added as preservatives to processed meats like ham, but which are actually pretty good for you when eaten in vegetables. The USAW study found nitrate levels in beetroot, which have been shown to boost blood flow and increase the delivery of nutrients and oxygen to muscles during exercise, help athletes perform better more quickly. The researchers looked at data from 118 studies involving 1,872 participants from 25 countries to evaluate how consuming different foods affects sporting endurance. As well as looking at nitrate-rich beetroot, the researchers looked at grapes, sour cherries, and pine bark extract for their polyphenols and at watermelon for its L-citrulline. Polyphenols are compounds found in plants that have many benefits for the body and can help fight disease. L-citrulline is an amino acid that helps with heart and blood vessel health. The study found the polyphenols in grapes, sour cherries, and pine bark extract help protect nitrate from being broken down in the body, boosting stamina. But eating watermelon was found to have no benefit on exercise performance. Lead researcher Noah Duvall said the findings provided further evidence that some foods were natural endurance enhancers. There is a lot of interest in nitrate-rich and polyphenol-rich foods because of their potential to boost exercise performance. But just because they contain these elements doesn't mean this will translate into improved exercise performance. While our study shows that beetroot, among other foods, can boost performance, other nitrate-rich foods such as red spinach, Swiss chard, and rhubarb did not show similar benefits. Also, while grapes, pine bark extract, and sour cherries can help athletes perform better and faster, we found no effects for other polyphenol-rich foods, including blackcurrant, cocoa, ginseng, green tea, or raisins. Co-researcher Professor John Buckley said the boost to exercise performance and stamina varied among different groups of athletes. The results did show more significant effects among athletes who were less fit, and also that men were more likely to benefit from these foods than women. Professor Buckley said. He said there were few women included in the data the researchers examined, but the USAW findings suggested more investigation was warranted. All in all, we know that trying to get fit takes time and effort, but add a glass of beetroot juice to your training schedule and you just might see the difference, he said. This next article is about activities. Activities not happening on the screen. The well-being benefits of activities not being used for the screen. Whether it's sports practices, music lessons, or casual catch up with friends, when children are involved in after school activities or summer activities, they're more likely to feel happier and healthier than those who are glued to a screen. In a new study by the University of South Australia and the CA Education Department, researchers found that children's well-being improved when they participated in extracurricular activities, yet lowered when they spent time on social media or playing video games. Published in Digital Journal BMC Pediatrics, the study analyzed data from 61,759 school students in years 4 to 9, assessing the average number of days per week children participated in after-school activities from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and summer programs. It measured these against well-being factors of happiness, sadness, worry, engagement, perseverance, optimism, emotion, regulation, and life satisfaction. UNISA lead researcher Dr. Rosa Vergara said the research highlighted a big need to encourage children to participate in activities other than screens. Other study highlights how some out-of-school activities and summer programs boosted children's well-being, while others, particularly screens, can chip away at their mental and physical health. Screens are a massive distraction for children of all ages. Whether children are gaming, watching TV, or on social media, there's something about all screens that's damaging to their well-being. Dr. Vergara said it was more than the lack of physical activity while on screens that was damaging children's well-being, because sitting still to do homework or read was shown to have a positive impact. She said the research showed even children who already reported feeling happy benefited from participating in after-school sports or summer activities or just playing in the yards. What this shows is that we need to find ways to encourage children of all ages and backgrounds to get involved in activities that keep them away from TV, computers, mobile devices. Activities outside the house are the best thing for kids' mental and physical health. This next story is about a golf star you should know more about. Golfer Minji Lee deserves to be recognized as one of Australia's top sports stars. Australia's most underrated sports person is underrated no more. Minji Lee's spectacular win in the U.S. Open. Ming Lee's spectacular win in the U.S. Open, her second major, should ensure her recognition in Australia surges to a level appropriate for her exceptional performances. But it hasn't always been that way. Only a few years ago, when she was in the world top 10, she did not even have an Australian sponsor. Yet her zest for her country of birth is such that she represented Australia in two Olympics with a passion not shared by some other golfers. And she was wearing an earring with a map of Australia as she celebrated her June 5th U.S. Open win, her greatest tournament triumph so far. Her four-shot victory also earned her $2.5 million in prize money, the biggest single payout in women's golf history. Mingji Lee's success comes from tireless dedication. Her swing has been voted the best on tour by peers, and it looks so fluent and easy, you wonder how she ever misses a fairway. But nothing has been left to chance. She has squeezed everything out of her ability through relentless hard work and constant refinement. Lee, 26, is the daughter of Soonam and Clara Lee, who moved to Perth from South Korea more than two decades ago and raised Minji and her brother Minwoo, who is also an exceptional golfer. As a great star as she is in her own right, Minji recently took on caddy duties when her brother played a tournament at America's famous Augusta Golf Course. Behind the brother-sister banter lies the occasional insight. Minwoo once said, when things get really tough in training, he might stop, but she just keeps going. Lee always had something special about her. She won a Western Australian title at age 10, the U.S. Junior Championship 9 years ago, and was just 17 when ranked number one amateur in the world. It's 7 years since she was ranked the latest Professional Golf Association Rookie of the Year, and she has been floating in and around the world top 10 for 5 years. Her mother was a teaching professor at a driving range in Perth, and her father was also a very good golfer. The family now runs a cafe in Perth. While Minji did many of the fun things that youngsters do at school, singing in choirs and taking dance lessons, there was never any doubt that golf would be her future. In year 11, she even moved schools to be closer to her home golf course in Fremantle. Much like recently retired Australian tennis star Ash Barty, Lee has had the benefit of a wise coach, Richie Smith, and a close supporter family. They have climbed the mountain together, and there's plenty of glory days ahead. And here's another interesting story about a teen flying a plane before she can drive a car. While getting a driver's license is a symbol of independence for many teens, Chloe Familton, 16, took the skies to claim hers after qualifying for her solo pilot's license late last year. The NSW student has so far accrued more hours in a cockpit than behind the steering wheel of a car. Her family's long-running passion for aviation sparked for Chloe last year when she attended an open day at Scouts NSW Air Activity Center at Sydney Camden Airport. My grandfather was a navigator in the Air Force in the Vietnam War, so I guess I'm the third generation to be interested in aviation, she said. After attending the Scouts NSW Open Day, the Cherrybrook Technology High School student began training alongside her father, Scott, and the pair got their flying license last year. I was pretty scared when she went up in the air for her first solo, as any dad would be, but she handled herself well. I'm hugely proud, Mr. Familton said. Father and daughter were among those celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Air Activity Center on Sunday when Scouts Chief Commissioner Neville Thompson said learning to fly was one of the many diverse activities offered by the organization. A lot of people think scouting is learning how to tie knots. Very few would know you can join Scouts and learn how to fly, he said. We've got a diverse program of activities, which is how we are repositioning ourselves to be much more attractive to what young people want. Whether it's flying, playing basketball, playing football, playing tennis, playing hockey, all these things are great sports, but what about jobs in sports when you get older? Well, there's a call to embrace golden chance for jobs in sports. Australia might be a proud sporting nation, but a national survey has revealed that less than half of Aussie parents are aware of the Olympic Games are locked in to be held down under. The startling finding came from Deakin University Commission research that said Australia was on the verge of a golden decade of sport. The nation will host 10 global events over the next decade, including the Olympics and Paralympics in Brisbane in 2030. 2032, the Commonwealth Games in Victoria in 2026, Rugby Win World Cup in 2027, Women's Soccer World Cup with New Zealand in 2023, and Netball World Cup in 2027, which means a lot of jobs coming to Australia. A lot of people are coming to Australia to work, and a lot of athletes coming to participate in the Olympics. Now, it also goes on to say that YouGov survey of more than 1,000 parents and senior high school students measure their views of careers in sport, revealing that job opportunities in the sporting sector were often underestimated. It found the expected growth in sport and events was not being fully recognized, and that careers in sports, either as a participant or in the sector, generally needed to be embraced. Melbourne Vixen netballer and Deakin student Kate Maloney said jobs in sport were there for the taking. Australia's sport industry is thriving, from hosting major international events to the significant growth of elite women's competitions. Deakin Sport Director Professor David Shilbury said the survey exposed long-held biases about studying and pursuing sport-related careers. It's unsurprising to hear sports size and expected growth to be underestimated, according to Professor Shilbury. Although Australia produces some of the world's more respected sport administrators, managers, and scientists, it is typically the success of our athletes that steals the limelight, not so much the work that is achieved beyond the field of play. The lack of awareness about Brisbane hosting the Olympics and Paralympics was also reflected in the survey of respondents. Underestimation of the number of jobs being created by games. 2 out of 5 survey respondents predicted fewer than 5,000 jobs would be created, compared to government jobs forecast of more than 130,000 jobs. Professor Shilbury said the next generation of sports professionals had a broad range of opportunity at their fingertips. Fingertips of youngins, Australia's status as a sporting nation was more likely to be acknowledged by parents from Victoria because of the world events, Australian Open and Formula One Grand Prix hosted by the state. The survey also found that more than 84% of parents reported their children participated or were interested in sports. The most common sports for children were soccer, 34%, swimming, 32%, tennis and basketball, 26%, Australian rules football, 22%, cricket, 19%, rugby league, 18%, netball, 17%, athletics, 15%, and rugby union, 13%. Just over half of parents participated in sports themselves, with a quarter doing so at least twice a week. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time for this episode of PsyKids. Please be sure to join us next time for more. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is available as a podcast on our website at ncreadingservice.org. I'm your hometown girl, Shadate, for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this was Sports Illustrated for Kids. See you next time on the radio.